Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com, this is another episode of Blogulator Radio, skewering and
fawning over all things television.
From the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network and theblogulator.com, I'm Qualler.
I am Bridget.
And our opinions are what?
Valid.
They're valid. Correct. Tonight and this week we have kind of a newsy
What's
episode.
News?
What's news?
We do a lot of those, don't we?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of TV
news
out there.
News.
There's a lot of interesting stuff out there.
What a scoop.
Like I've said before, what's interesting to me is not necessarily interesting to Bridget. But that's okay, because we all have different levels of interest in things.
Mm-hmm. We all have valid opinions.
Right?
Yeah. So go ahead, tell us what's news, Qualler.
Sure. Well, it's been an interesting week on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Which is, I think, another thing that maybe you don't find as
interesting
as I do.
Yeah, not that into the Twitter.
Do.
Sorry. Sorry, folks.
I'm going to start with this news about Twitter in particular, in that Sons of Anarchy, of course, the show on FX about the motorcycle gangs.
Right,
that,
right. Sons of Anarchy, great show.
Yes. And I need to get you...
I've seen
it,
a couple of episodes here and there, and I could see myself getting hooked pretty easily. I've liked what I've seen, but I need to go ahead
and you really
try it from the beginning.
And specifically, you really like Ron Perlman's mouth.
Yeah. It's big.
It's a really
big
mouth.
Have you seen it? I bet
yeah.
he could fit a baby in there.
Probably.
I'm just saying.
Probably. They should have just put the baby of season 3 in his mouth.
Yeah, that
right?
would have been a great hiding spot.
That would have been quite the twist. anyway, the showrunner of that show, Sons of Anarchy, Kurt Suter, decided abruptly that he was going to quit Twitter.
Mm.
And, in fact, his Twitter account, Suter Inc., is no longer
Did he tweet about his quitting Twitter?
He did.
Good.
He did, as one would in this very self-aware
right.
world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being, he is very quote-unquote controversial.
Okay.
On his Twitter account, he would frequently tweet about things that were happening in the TV world and give his very strong opinions, usually with some very colorful language. And the most recent thing, and perhaps the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, of his Twitter account was the recent news of Frank Darabont.
Okay.
Of AMC's The Walking Dead being fired from AMC, and his tweets, which unfortunately you can no longer read because he deleted his account.
It's defunct.
Right. Were all about how
I'm sure they're out there somewhere.
I'm sure they're out. Yeah, just Google it. Google can find everything, right?
Yeah.
All
hail Google.
Right. He was tweeting about how Matthew Weiner, the showrunner of Mad Men, quote-unquote, held AMC hostage, and as a result, AMC had to slash all of their budget stuff and had to let Frank Darabont go.
Not a very nice thing to say about Mr. Weiner.
No, it was
Weiner.
Not Weiner. I think it is Weiner.
Yeah, you said Weiner.
I know.
Ha
you
ha.
Know, it looks like Weiner.
It
should
sounds
be Weiner.
Like Weiner.
What, yeah, Anthony Weiner, remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Controversy.
Newsworthy.
Yeah, so he was, he is no longer on Twitter.
Hmm.
So, how do we feel about that? Don't really care.
Yeah, not even a little bit. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
That was one of the things that doesn't interest Bridget.
Sorry,
at
y'all.
All. But I will miss him on Twitter. Because
so you liked his tweets?
Entertained.
Pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
tweets.
Because he just, you know, he spoke his mind, man.
Good
he
for
just,
him.
And
he blogged once in a while.
He,
didn't he?
Yeah, he let his blog go because that was also full of lots of angry rants about stuff.
Well, you should be allowed, you know, freedom of speech or something.
Yeah, and
America.
God bless FX for letting him continue to run the show and for mostly not. At least publicly not putting a muzzle on him, because I think that speaks to their commitment
to their writers.
Their, right.
Yeah.
Whereas
to their artists.
Right. Right. Whereas AMC is kind of getting themselves in a bind right now because obviously The Killing didn't do very well.
They didn't kill it in the ratings.
Right. Yeah. It did kill in the ratings, though, somewhat.
What does that mean? Wait, like, doesn't kill.
If you
kill, that means you did great.
Right.
Oh, so it did kill in the ratings.
Didn't kill with the critics as much. Right, exactly.
It didn't slay the critics.
Right.
Game of Thrones reference.
Slay.
Wait, what?
Kingslayer, you know.
That was not a Game of Thrones reference. That's a common...
I know, but I'm trying to work Game of Thrones. I'm reading the second book, and it's really good, and I'm really looking forward to going to bed so I can read it more.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so good.
Let's stick to tweets.
Okay. Where was I going with this? Anyway, Kurt Suter, gone. AMC in trouble. And...
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. Here's some more news. Shifting gears. That should be...
I don't know.
We need a sound effect for that, don't we? Terra Nova.
Uh-huh.
Remember? That's the show about the dinosaurs.
Yeah, dinosaurs.
It was going on Fox.
I love dinosaurs.
Right. Well, yeah. They should be great. And apparently, according to Dan Feinberg of HitFix.com, he was good enough to do some research on Terra Nova, where he watched a rough pilot back in June, and that was the pilot where it came out, and there was some buzz that maybe it wasn't so bad, that maybe Terra Nova is going to be okay. But apparently they redid the pilot a little more and made it really bad.
Oh, isn't that always the way?
It's always...
Fox, what are you thinking?
Test audiences.
Where do they come up with these people? Where do they find these jokers?
Tell me about it.
That was my stand-up bit.
That's good, Bridget. That's good.
That was a callback to an SNL sketch in the 90s. Was that in the 90s? The one where the comedian game show?
Who are the ad wizards who came up with that one?
Yeah, game show comedian. Who was hosting?
Jerry Seinfeld. The host.
Look that one up on the Flix,
on
listeners.
Hulu or Netflix.
It's funny.
Jerry Seinfeld hosting SNL a long time ago.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
So that's what's
that's
happening
what's
in news.
So when
it's
does Terra Nova start?
It starts in the fall. I can't remember the exact date, but it starts in the fall.
Yeah.
2-hour premiere.
Yikes.
And
a lot of dinosaur chasing time.
Yeah, but what it sounds like is there's a lot of over-explanation, but then followed by, like, under-explanation, and then just too much explaining.
Okay.
When dinosaurs should... just be dinosaurs, don't you think?
Yeah.
Bridget?
Life finds a way.
Exactly, Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Dinosaurs should just be dinosaurs. Let's just leave it at that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Jurassic Park said everything I need to know about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And not because other dinosaur things are bad, per se.
But they'll never be Jurassic Park.
Right. It's just kind of the thing which you compare other dinosaur...
Would you watch a Jurassic Park television series? If that happened?
Sure.
Because I would.
Sure.
I would like that very much.
Gimmick-free Jurassic Park series?
Who said it has to be gimmick-free? Jurassic Park is all about gimmicks.
Well, what I mean is Terra Nova's gimmick is that they have to go back in time, blah, 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 the environment.
Yeah, and Jurassic Park's gimmick was blah, 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 respecting...
DNA.
No.
Dino DNA.
It was about... putting limitations on science.
True.
Right?
Those are kind of the undercurrents, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
So anyway, that's what's news.
That's newsworthy.
Moving on to a couple of funnies.
Mid-season reviews.
Is what
we call this sometimes.
Of a couple
this
of
feature.
Funnies. First funny.
Louis. Yeah, so we're about midway through the second season of Louis, and I would have to say, as much as I loved the first season, I'm loving the second season even more.
Yeah, and I think I would agree with you. I feel like the second season is almost a lot darker than the first season. Like there's
it seems
like there's a lot more sadness in the second season.
Yeah, it's a lot more.
But
not,
it's still also one of the funniest things I've seen.
Yeah,
on TV.
It's God bless Louis C.K. because he is not afraid to just go there.
Right.
You know?
What do the commercials call his stand-up? His quirky?
Oh, raw, angry. Which none
really
of those
not.
Things are really true about Louis C.K., but, yeah, it's just so great. I think we actually kind of sat down and watched 4 episodes in a row that we were to catch up on, and they were, let's see, he went to go visit his great aunt in Pennsylvania that featured an amazing, like, 4 or 5 minute interlude that was just Louis singing along to the Who's Who Are You.
It was so wonderful, and I can't explain why it was so funny.
Well, it was just, you know, everyone does that, and it was just great. One thing that Alan Sepinwall pointed out is that might have been the only time in the entire series where Louis seemed genuinely happy.
Oh.
Which is kind of sad to think about.
That makes me sad.
Yeah. But
yeah, so he's on a road trip with his 2 young daughters, and they're kind of talking about the girls are bored, and then the song comes on the radio, and they just let it. Did they play the whole song?
Most of it. Yeah.
So they just kind of let him go and let him sing along in the car, and his daughters are looking at him like he's crazy, and it's a pretty fantastic. It sounds really simple and kind of stupid, but it's pretty wonderful.
It's a great scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
funny stuff.
Funny.
Funny
Hilarious.
Stuff.
Hilarious.
What else have you... What's been another favorite moment so far this season?
The whole scene in the episode where he needed to get tickets to Lady Gaga.
Uh-huh.
And he had to go visit Dane Cook.
I love that. Yeah. He went there.
That was great.
And Dane Cook was willing to meet him there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of... Maybe shows he can poke a little bit of fun,
right,
at himself, or you know.
Right. It's the first time in my life that I have ever thought, "Huh, Dane Cook, you're
not such a douchebag.
You're not so bad."
What about that movie he was in with Steve Carell?
Oh.
They were in a cabin or something, and there was a family.
Oh, Dan in Real Life.
Yeah.
He was actually really good in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know what, Dane Cook. You're right. You got sort of a bad rap, even though your stand-up comedy is terrible.
Oh, it's horrible. It's not funny at all.
It's not funny.
I'm sorry. I hope you're not listening. Well, I don't give a shit.
You know what?
He knows.
He knows.
I hope he knows.
He's aware.
And yeah. I think he just works his glamour muscles.
Yeah, he's a little round in the face. You know,
mm-hmm.
What's that? Yeah, he's a little... Well, that's okay. So that was another.
He was wearing one of those t-shirts that's like
one of those Ed
like.
Hardy t-shirts. Yeah.
Yeah, don't care for those.
Yeah,
automatic douche.
Right. Yeah, but you know that was pretty cool. And actually, earlier in season 2, there was an episode with Joan Rivers.
Mm.
That was almost. It was kind of just like Louis visits the movie about Joan Rivers, the documentary. What was that called?
A piece of work.
A piece
Joan
of work.
Rivers, colon,
Joan
a piece
yeah.
of work.
It was kind of like Louis visits the documentary Joan Rivers, colon, a piece of work. But that was also really good because that was like Louis learning about stand-up comedy and the biz. And mm-hmm. It's always really satisfying in episodes of Louis where somebody learns something.
Yeah, we like
because
to learn
that happened,
stuff.
That does happen a lot in episodes of Louis.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of him thinking his life is really crappy, and he kind of him getting to be maybe, and he's definitely not like a self-righteous guy at all.
Right.
But he'll get into moments, and we all fall into those where you start to think I'm just kind of getting shit on, and it's not fair.
Right.
And then he always kind of, the lesson is always kind of humbling. So with Joan Rivers, he was like, "This is, you know, this is really hard. I'm doing this work, and it's hard. And you're someone who's made it." And she's saying, "Well." You know, grow up. Of course it's hard. It's hard for me, too. I'm still out on the road traveling, and, you know, one day you're on top, one day you're not. You never know. So this is the life you chose, and
right
deal
on.
With it. And
right
then
on.
With Dane Cook, I think he's kind of feeling sorry for himself, because here's this guy who he thinks is
stealing
a sellout, and he's stealing, and he's getting
and,
all the
and,
money and getting all the publicity. It was pretty fantastic, the scene when he had to go with the security people
yeah.
to where Dane Cook was... waiting, kind of showing the different levels of fame.
And the beauty of it is, it's possible that that whole scene with Dane Cook was full of very genuine emotion, because the whole controversy about Dane Cook stealing jokes from Louis C.K. is real. And that's that's really something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that made the scene a lot more kind of tense. And it wasn't, it wasn't even like very funny, the scene, although it was funny when Louis pointed out that 2006 is not the right way to say 2006, although I call it that.
You say 2006?
Well, I don't know. I can't.
The year 2006?
That scene made me contemplate how I say
years. 2006. 2006.
You're right. I know.
If anything, you say 2006. You kind of go quickly.
Yeah. 2006.
2006.
I don't know.
06, I call it.
Yeah.
No, but so in that scene, too, though, I feel like he kind of started off thinking, like, here's this asshole that I've got to go talk to.
Yeah.
Dane Cook doesn't come off as a total asshole. He kind of, you know, he's in the business.
He's still not
too.
A guy who would be my friend.
No, but Louis kind of learns not to be self.
You learn to see, you learn to see something good in somebody that you think that you don't like.
Yeah, that's a good way. And I keep saying self-righteous, but that's not really the right word, because Louis's not, you know, again, he's a humble sort of guy. But it's easy. I think we can all be in a position where we feel like I'm, you know, it's not fair that that other guy, he's not even that funny, and he's a sellout, and look how, you know,
it kinda
far
makes,
he's made it.
It's kind of like a, hey, hipsters, get over yourself kind of lesson.
A little bit, because
it's true.
It was funny stuff.
Yeah, so it's very good, very good.
Do you want to ask me about my favorite moment?
Yeah, what's been your favorite moment?
I really
like
the episode where he is going to find a new place to live.
Yeah, the moving episode.
Yeah, the moving episode.
Yeah,
and,
that's
he finds
my
that house
of the year so far.
Yeah, that was also the first really sad episode.
Yeah,
where it was like, this is actually really sad. But then it ends with, so he tries to find a house or a new place to live because he's living in the house that he lived in with his ex-wife, and he's like, we need a fresh start with my daughters, and he finds this house that, of course, he can't afford because it's $17 million, and the scene when he's meeting with his accountant, trying to say, how can I, maybe I can cut, you know, budget, or cut back on other areas, that whole scene of his accountant explaining to him why he can't afford a $17 million home. That made me laugh until I was crying.
Yeah, it was good.
And it ends with Louis kind of saying, but what about Obama? And that made me laugh even
harder.
What
about Obama? Yeah,
but, he's being ridiculous. He's funny. But at the same time, you can kind of empathize with the position he's in, where there's something you really want, and you kind of can trick yourself into thinking, well, maybe there's a way I can get that. Maybe if I really, you know, but it's like, no. And I really liked, I thought that one had a really sweet ending, and I think it was even maybe like during the credits that this happened.
Yes.
You know, there's always that little post part, but where, you know, he's at his house and he and his daughters are painting the wall in their living room.
Yes.
And like, I thought there's something nice about that, where it's kind of like, you know, I don't need a
new
house.
It's very zen,
like,
actually, if you think about it, because it's very much like,
letting
where
go of
I
these
am,
things that
yeah,
you think you need
go,
that you don't really
and
need.
Being in the here and now and being happy with that.
Yeah.
So Louis is actually a very zen show.
That's what it is. Louis is Buddha, I think. Is that what
Louis
you're saying?
Louis is Buddha.
Yeah.
That's the title of our
episode.
Is that
offensive?
Right there. No.
No?
No, of course not.
Okay. Yeah, Louis C.K. Any other really good moments? I mean, they've all been funny. I think it's been a consistently funny and at the same time poignant show.
And overall, you know, the structure of the show last year was a lot more, there's going to be either two segments or one segment.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's playing with that format even more, where like the Subway / Pamela episode, the Subway segment was really only like 3 or 4 minutes long. So it's really pretty experimental as far as
and as far as format goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as sitcoms or half hour shows go in general, there aren't really any shows on TV that are like Louis.
in terms of how it's
structure and tone, and mm-hmm. I mean it's obviously it's very, very funny, but I wouldn't, and I guess you could classify it as a comedy, but it's not like any other comedy on TV.
I think that's fair.
Well done, Louis C.K.
If you're out there listening, we like
I'm
you
sure
a lot.
You are.
We
I'm
like
sure
he's probably
are.
Listening.
It's on iTunes.
Joan Rivers is probably listening
podcast.
Too.
Yeah.
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 Dane Cook is probably listening. Probably. Sorry, dude. What can I say? Yeah.
Well, you know what, bro? I respect you. Pound it out.
I don't know that I'm gonna go that far.
Okay.
But I am not a 20-year-old man, so there we have it.
True.
Moving on to something that's a little bit more.
Another funny man.
Conventional in terms of format,
well,
but unconventional in terms of what's actually going on.
Conventional in terms of a very tried and true structure that continues to work. The new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO.
I got an estimate on the car.
$573?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Forget the insurance. I'll just write you a check. I'll take care of it.
Cool. I think that's one way to do it. But, you know, let me propose an alternative here. Indulge me for a second. Last night at that dinner party, you really impressed me.
I did?
Well, you just speak your mind, you know? You tell people how you're feeling, what you're thinking, with the potatoes, for example, you know?
I mean, how cold were those potatoes,
by
the way?
They were freezing. I couldn't say that. You're the only one who can come out with it, you know? And then you know, Jeff and Susie with the kid. What was the kid doing there, right?
What, why do you bring your daughter to an adult dinner party?
Exactly. You say what everybody's thinking. You just come out with it. It's impressive, you know?
Well, you know, thank you.
So I don't know if you noticed this last night, but my wife, Eileen, she says LOL. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Oh, yes, certainly did pick up on that.
I mean, why would you say LOL instead of just laughing at something,
well,
you
just
know?
Tell her to stop saying it.
I can't tell her that. She'll kill me. Are you kidding? We'll get into a fight. It'll last for months.
She's a tough customer.
Yes, you noticed that.
Well, she's like Susie's twin sister.
I know. I just like to avoid the whole thing. And I was just wondering, maybe you could say it to her, you know? You know, you might just put it out there because that's what you do. And I'll tell you what, you do that for me. You see this estimate? Gone. I will tear it up. I will pay for it myself.
Let me see if I got this right.
Yeah.
I tell her to stop saying LOL.
Yes, it's annoying.
And you tear up the,
gone.
The bill. Come on, please.
Yeah.
Deal. Yeah.
It's a deal.
You got
Thank
it.
You so much. This is, you've taken a load off my shoulders, let me tell you.
Hi, Larry.
Hey.
Hi, honey.
Oh, honey, can you get the rest of the bags?
Yeah. I'll go get them.
Okay.
God, that store was so crowded.
Crowded?
Ugh. How are you?
Not bad.
Good. I noticed you were alone at the party.
Oh, you did notice that?
Yeah. Are you dating?
No.
Why not?
You know what? A date is an experience you have with another person that makes you appreciate being alone.
LOL. LOL.
You like saying that, don't you?
It's cute, right?
No, not really.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you're going to laugh out loud, why aren't you laughing out loud? Why say it? Why not just laugh?
I am laughing. That's what that is. It's me. That's laughing.
No, you're saying LOL. You're verbal texting.
Excuse me. Is this your little idea? Did my pissant husband tell you to do this?
No.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
You did.
You know, you're in my house, my kitchen, telling me how I'm supposed
everything.
To respond to your
Can
jokes.
You
Ron, are you fucking out of your mind?
What are you talking about?
Did you tell him to come over
no,
to me and tell me how I should
who?
Stop saying LOL?
I tell Larry that? Of course
yes.
I wouldn't tell Larry that.
Oh,
you know?
Yes, you would.
No,
and
he's
yes,
the guy
you
who does
did.
This.
And you
can't, oh, you can't tell him.
I think the way you express yourself is like a child. Okay, that's all.
Funny stuff.
And this season, you know, I was a little bit, I don't want to say disappointed, because I'll always accept any season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I kind of thought the Seinfeld season would have been the most perfect way to end the show.
Hmm.
Although I would have been really sad if it would have ended, because I love the show. But, Bridget.
Yeah.
At the end of the last season, where Larry finally makes a new season of, or a
The reunion show.
The reunion show of Seinfeld, and he seems to...
Does he step in and play George? Is that how...
He does for a while. Okay. He walks in, and that was fantastic. But at the very end, where it seems like he wins Cheryl back, and then he sees that she's the one who doesn't respect Wood.
Yeah.
What did you interpret that as... Cheryl's gonna leave Larry now? Or did you interpret that as...
I thought that they were over.
Or did you... Because I was actually
surprised at the beginning of this season when it started with them
still
together.
It was kind of like a Back to the Future 1 into Back to the Future 2 opening
scene.
Yeah,
that's a good way to... It's a good comparison.
Thanks. I really interpreted that scene as like, can't live with him, can't live without him kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wrong, because right away she was like, actually, Larry, I'm divorcing you. And then it just cuts to, like, a year later, and they're finishing up their divorce.
Yeah.
And I was kind of sad about that, but it's actually the first four episodes of what we've seen so far are, in a lot of ways, kind of like Louis, and not to make too many parallels, but they're a lot edgier, it seems like,
edgier, but it hits you later than Louis does.
Yeah.
So you don't feel, like, somewhat sad.
It's less about being sad, and, like, it's more just like, man, these people are really terrible people.
Yeah.
But, it's been a little uneven, but I think the way that Curb seasons go is that they build to something fantastic, and even an uneven episode of Curb is still light years beyond most shows.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty funny. A lot of laughs.
A lot of guffaws.
I definitely thought at the end of last season, Cheryl and Larry are getting a divorce. Okay. I did not interpret it as they're back together. I thought, that's it for them. But so you're sad that they were getting a divorce?
I always kind of liked Larry and Cheryl.
I like Larry and Cheryl too, but as far as the show goes, this opens up the whole world of Larry David on dates.
Right, and that's been pretty great. Especially
they've been really kind of, I feel, playing that up a little bit.
Yeah, especially in the third episode, the Palestinian chicken episode, where he and Jeff go visit the Palestinian chicken place, and they discover that it's a great place to go if you're cheating on your wife.
If you're Jewish,
and you're cheating on your wife specifically. We'll insert some clips in this part of the show. But, it's hard to, I don't know. How do you analyze Curb Your Enthusiasm? How do you talk
about
it?
Maybe you don't analyze it. Maybe you just let it be what it is.
You just let it happen.
I think that in comparing it to something like Louis, it's really difficult because they are very different.
Yeah.
Because I think that Curb is very conventional in its structure or format, in the sense that you're going to have a plot that wraps itself up.
Yeah.
And it almost always comes full circle. So in the sense, it's like Seinfeld in that way.
And there's always an arc throughout the season that builds to, as episodes go on, the stakes kind of get raised more and more.
But still you have some kind of closure or
resolution. Yeah, there are usually three things that are going on, and somehow they all come together at the end.
And it's a lot sillier. Louis is not a very silly show.
No.
Even though in both shows it's kind of offbeat characters interacting with other offbeat characters and just bizarre things happening to them.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
That's true, but I feel like Curb Your Enthusiasm has a silliness about it.
Yes.
That Louis doesn't have, and I don't think that one is better than the other. Although I think if I had to pick one over the other, I would pick Louis as my
Louis
favorite.
Louis sticks with you a lot longer, but Curb is still on.
Yeah. There's a funny episode involving Girl Scout cookies. That was a funny thing.
Yeah.
And
I think anything where Larry has to interact with teenage girls,
it's funny.
Is always hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like they're kind of playing up the season in the episodes we've seen so far, Larry interacting with his kind of circle of friends. So I feel like before it was a lot of Larry and Cheryl.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, eventually that's kind of...
And the good thing about that is that there's a lot more Marty Funkhauser as
yes.
a result.
And yes. I love Marty Funkhauser. I feel like they're all becoming more central parts. And, you
yeah,
know, there's
and
more,
a lot more Susie.
There's more room
and I guess,
for
I guess,
hilarity.
Like, Cheryl wasn't necessarily a funny character.
She was kind of the
herself.
Straight man.
Right.
Right?
Right, and now it's like...
Now who's the straight man?
I mean, I think Jeff is kind of the straight man, but he's also hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is happening to Cheryl? Is she going to be on the show this season?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out as it goes on.
You don't know whether she's
but
been...
She, I mean, she's... the actress, Cheryl Hines, has been... I know that she was in some pilots.
Kind of shopping around?
Yeah, I think... I mean... She should be a regular on another show because.
Well, did that divorce have anything to do with her character wanting, with that actress wanting to leave the show, or
I don't,
or them wanting the actress to leave, or was that
no,
just how it
I
happened?
No, I think. Well, you know, Larry David in real life
IRL.
Was divorced
yeah.
recently, fairly recently, from his wife, who's also an environmentalist, although not named Cheryl, I don't think.
Right,
but. Yeah, and I think Cheryl Hines has, it seems like she's trying to land a more regular gig
mm-hmm.
since Curb kind of is on whenever Larry David wants to make a new season.
But I'm
sure she's, you know, as we've seen, she's been in at least the first episode of the season, so
mm-hmm.
she can come and go as she pleases, and
yeah.
It works.
So do you think, how close do you think the Larry David character on Curb Your Enthusiasm is to the Larry David person?
Well,
do you
think it's as distinct as
Woody Allen claims to be from the characters he plays in movies?
I think it's similar to Woody Allen in that there are elements of truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that Larry David has never, given tampon instructions to a teenage girl through the
bathroom
door.
It's not as gross as it sounds. It was funny.
I think in interviews, the real Larry David is much more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, God bless you gotta bless
you just,
Larry David. You just got I don't know.
You gotta
bless him for being on the eighth season of this show when he could clearly be resting on
yeah.
his billions of dollars from Seinfeld and continuing to churn out.
Pretty funny
seasons.
Stuff. Pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
good.
So,
get it?
I get it.
Thanks.
I get it. So, you know, whatever he's doing, it's working. He can take as much time as he wants between seasons because the end product is still very good.
Very funny. Very funny.
And I really, I actually really liked the episode where he somehow inadvertently got involved in a women's shelter.
Mm-hmm. A battered woman, yeah.
Battered, because, it's similar to Larry and teenage girls in a Girl Scout troop.
Yeah, Larry interacting with women is...
It's one
thing that I'm a little wary of is that, Cheryl Hines was too attractive for Larry David.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say too young for Larry David.
Yeah.
And so far this season, the women that he's been with have been way out of Larry David's league.
Yeah.
And I would like to see him date someone who is age and attractiveness appropriate.
Yeah.
Could we do that? And
yeah,
still,
that's kind
and
of
still
the Woody
let it be
Allen
funny?
Thing going.
Because it feels like he's kind of, so he's not that good looking, no offense, Larry. And he's got all these flaws, and he's really difficult to deal
with.
He's
extremely neurotic.
Yeah, and he's, you know, these beautiful women
nice.
Are kind of putting up with him, and he's kind of like, oh, I don't know. So, but I mean, that's kind of what eventually drove Cheryl away,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's accurate that I think he would be divorced, this character, not the real Larry David.
Right.
But, kind of like George in Seinfeld. He was always with women that were moderately
well,
good looking.
Susan.
She was moderately good. She was
better
looking than him.
She's definitely better looking than him. Yeah.
Oh, it's always me. So, I wonder if as the season continues, how much they're going to play up the Larry's dating now, and isn't that hilarious? Because he obviously doesn't know how to interact appropriately on a date.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, also, he's been comfortably married for how many years, so he's
mm-hmm.
doesn't know how to do that.
So now
but I wonder if we're going to continue to see him paired with ridiculously beautiful LA women.
Well, he's headed to New York.
Okay.
In the season.
So that might... Maybe that'll help?
There's a twist.
What would Patty say about LA women versus New York women? Patty the Millionaire
Patty
Matchmaker.
Patty Stanger.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Patty Stanger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. She would...
I would like
five women to one blonde.
I would
one
like a
man.
Curb Your Enthusiasm Millionaire Matchmaker crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Where Larry David goes to find a relationship. Do you hear that, Bravo?
Make it happen.
And HBO, make that happen.
Please.
So if you had to give a grade, a letter grade to Curb Your Enthusiasm so far, like a midterm grade,
mm-hmm.
what would it be? A through F scale.
Probably an A minus.
Really? I was going to say B plus.
Yeah, B plus.
You know, and we're tough graders, so there's no inflation here.
Right.
How about Louis?
A.
Yeah,
A.
I would give
Definitely
it an A.
Definitely an A.
I would agree with
it's
that.
It's been pretty flawless. There hasn't been a single episode that I've felt uneasy about at all.
And I think Curb Your Enthusiasm, as you're watching it, it's really enjoyable, but like you said, it doesn't stick with you quite as much.
Yeah, although I would like to, you know, I could watch those episodes over and over, but they don't stick with me
as
long.
But let's see how the season continues. Like you said, it kind of, Curb has a history of kind of building momentum, I would say, as the season progresses.
Yes.
And Louis, I think, is usually pretty steady.
Yeah, and Louis is a lot more standalone than
than
Kurt.
Each episode by episode?
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
And he kind of... Louis's done a good job of kind of building a Louis world
mm-hmm.
with his friend Pamela. And there was that other really touching, sad episode where he told Pamela that he loved her.
Yeah, that made me sad.
That was just... a straight-up sad episode. And actually, that episode really made me think, you know what? Actually, Louis C.K. is a pretty good actor. Because that was a well-acted scene. And the knock against season one was that Louis was just playing himself and was not that great of an actor. And isn't that hilarious that he was nominated for an Emmy for acting? But I really think, like, in the second season, he's done a really good job.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Is the Louis C.K. in real life married or divorced? Or
I think he's divorced.
With kids. And he has kids for real,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So.
So Millionaire
Larry
Matchmaker, you have some real life celebrities to hook up with some nice ladies.
You need a real
Louis C.K.
crossover.
And Larry David. So we would rather see the characters on an episode of Millionaire Matchmaker or the actual people?
Man. That's a good question.
And they're both kind of playing themselves, but obviously, you know, heightened or whatever versions of themselves.
Right.
I'd rather see the characters.
Would you rather see...
Because the real people might make me sad.
Speaking of heightened reality versions of themselves, would you like to see a heightened reality version of James Vanderbeek?
Yeah, when is that happening?
It's mid-season in ABC Apartment 23.
All right.
The show. Or would you rather see the real James Vanderbeek on Millionaire Matchmaker?
I'd rather see the real James Vanderbeek because I want to know what he's really like.
That's definitely
what
true.
He would actually
and
be
I
like
want to
on
see
a
what
date.
Patty Stanger does to him.
I don't so much feel that about Louis C.K. and Larry David because I have a feeling that deep down they're probably decent guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, James Vanderbeek. I just don't know that about you. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in seeing what the real James Vanderbeek is like.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
Or we won't.
Yeah.
Patty?
I hope we do. Someday.
Andy Cohen?
Andy
Cohen. Can you hear us?
Do it. So I think that's about...
Is that a wrap?
I think that's a wrap, Bridget. So, it's been a blast, guys. this, again, Blogulator Radio. Tune in next week, as always. And actually, next week, Chris is doing a very special episode of Blogulator Radio with Sam. And he and Sam are going to discuss Battlestar Galactica, which
Nerd
Chris
alert.
Recently finished.
Nice.
Which
we have to start
we
that.
We need to start.
We will start that.
Yeah. So, I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
And our
opinions are valid.
See you next week.